Morning Crossfire on 99.3 Nigeria Info.
All right, Lagos, very good morning to you. For those of you just joining us, where have you been? We've been here since 5 a.m. My name is Kofi Bate. Also, very good morning to you. Thanks to Sheriff Quadri and Jimmy Disso for taking us through the analysis of today's newspaper headlines in Daily Today Part 2. And, of course, a lot to talk about. So many things happening in the country. Today, it's about petrol scarcity. Fuel scarcity and, of course, the queues all over. Some people unable to go to work and some having to grapple with increased transportation fares. May God help all of us. But while we're keeping our eyes on the petrol situation, we also need to keep our eyes on what is happening with the weather. Of course, the rains have started. The first rain that fell last time was quite heavy, and we want to know what exactly we need to do. The people, you and I, the residents of Lagos State and the government of Lagos State, indeed society, to prepare Lagos State for the rainy season. I was speaking with a Nigerian who lives abroad, a relative of mine, and she was asking me, oh, okay, has rain started falling? I said, no, it started falling, but it's not falling back consistently back to back. Don't forget, as we're entering May, it's expected probably that the rainy season will come out in full force. So what should we know about the forthcoming rainy season, and what do we need to do to prepare ourselves for it in order to ensure that we don't fall victim to floods and all that? So this morning we talk preparedness ahead of a heavy downpour, which will soon commence in full force. Don't forget, recently, that's in March, at a news conference on the 2024 seasonal climate predictions and socioeconomic implications for Lagos State, the Lagos State Commissioner for Environment and Water Resources, Tokunbo Wahab, Mr. Wahab, I've been calling you, please pick my call. He disclosed that the state will experience abnormal rainfall. In the words of Tokunbo Wahab, quote, the average annual rainfall predicted for 2024 was 1,936.2 millimeters, which was greater than the long-term average of 1,721.48 millimeters, with the onset date expected to be the first week of April and the ceasing in the first week of December. He added that, quote, Ikorodu is expected to have a rainfall onset date of April 4 and cessation date of December 4, totaling an annual amount of 1,903 millimeters, while Lagos Island will have a rainfall onset date of April 3, a cessation date of December 4, and an annual amount of 1,936 millimeters. Also, Ekpe is expected to have a rainfall onset date of April 2 and a cessation date of December 5, and an annual amount of 1,952 millimeters. This is according to Tokunbo Wahab, Honorable Commissioner for Environment and Water Resources in Lagos State. He also noted that below normal rainfall was anticipated in the first half of the rainy season, below normal, while normal to above normal rainfall was expected in the second half of the rainy season. I want to talk some more about this and also what we need to do to prepare ourselves as the rainy season is here. I'd like to introduce our guest this morning on the Crossfire, joining us via a video link. That means you can watch live on YouTube and watch live on Facebook on our Nigerian for pages. Dr. Desmond Magic. Sir, am I to use Dr., Professor, or Miss? I'm sorry, I don't usually do this.
Well, to be honest, right now, I've become a plastic picker. So plastic picker, Desmond Magic, good of me. But I'm also, I'm an avowed environmental activist, absolutely.
You know, I used to call you the environmental evangelist. So
yeah,
I call you evangelist Despo Badger Korubi. Good to have you, sir. He's an environmental activist. He's the chairman of the Lekki State Urban Forest and Animal Shelter Initiative. That's Lufasi. He's also host of Green Eye and Green Scene right here on 99.3 Nigerian. For your thoughts are welcome. You can call 0700-993-993-993. Also call 0201-465-7190. 0201-465-7190. Those numbers available for you. You can also send your WhatsApp message to the number 08095-975805. 08095-975805. Mr. Amaja Kodumi, the effects of climate change are stark, you know, in Nigeria, quite severe, if you will agree. We have frequent massive floods. You know, the past 2 years, we've seen some flooding around the country. It cost us lives, property, and displacement of people, individuals, and family. Does this extend to heavy rainfall, given, you know, the recent warning by the Lagos State Government, sir?
Absolutely, and indeed it does, my brother. It extends there. In fact, that is one of the first effects, because it's just the fundamental science that everybody knows. You learn it from your mother's kitchen. When you add heat to water, the water starts to evaporate. Even before it boils, you know, if you have a cover off your pot and you're boiling the water or you're warming it, you'll see steam. You'll see droplets on that cover. Okay, so that's the reality. And we are heating up the Earth's atmosphere. We are doing things that is making the atmosphere get a lot hotter. And this Earth has a lot of water. Over 60 to almost 70% of the surface of the Earth is water. Oceans, seas, lakes, streams, rivers, and we're heating it up. So a lot more water vapor is going up into the air. And that means you're going to have a lot more rain falling down. In fact, you know what, Kofi? You know what they're saying?
Tell me.
In some areas now. Yeah. They're not even calling it rainfall. They're calling it rain bomb.
Oh, rain my word. Bomb. Rain bomb.
Yeah. Like what happened in Dubai just 2 weeks ago. Yes. 1.5 years rain falling in less than 24 hours.
My God.
The amount of rain that would normally fall in 1.5 years, my brother, in my less God. Than 24 hours. Yeah, honestly. So this is the reality that we're faced with. And luckily for us, the NIMET, that is the meteorological organization, they give very accurate predictions. They have some very good equipment and they have some very good people handling that equipment. And so when they give us a prediction, it is usually very accurate. And when they're telling us, and this is what our commissioner, Tokubo Wahab, is quoting what the NIMET people are saying, when they're telling us that we should prepare for heavy rains in certain parts of the country, including Lagos, we should listen to that warning, because we are being impacted like the rest of the world. The whole world is heating up. The heat doesn't differentiate country. It doesn't differentiate country. It doesn't differentiate tribe or ethnicity, that's for sure. It's just one world. We're all here on this planet, you know, and we're all being affected in one way or the other by the impact of the global warming, which is causing climate change. And one of the most overt manifestations of the climate change is this extra rain that falls. So yeah, in Nigeria, Kofi, we're definitely feeling the effect.
All right. Interesting. Mr. Maja Kodumi, the first rain, the first heavy rain that fell last week, it was quite heavy. It was quite heavy. It really, I was on my way to work. I can't remember which day in particular, but I was on my way to work, and I remember that the storm hit me somewhere around Marina, you know, and then by the time I got to the office, it was raining cats and dogs. It was raining cats, yes, indeed, and it rained the whole day. But from the predictions, what we see is that NIMET, and indeed the Commissioner for Information in River State, had, in Lagos State, sorry, had said the onset will be in the first to second week of April. But we're seeing that maybe, do you think this has been the case? Because my memory serves me right. The rain started falling, the first rain I remember was a heavy one, was in the third week of April. You know, that was last week. So are we sticking to, is this weather sticking to the timing of man or the prediction of man, or is it different? And why is this the case?
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, the accuracy of the predictions is coming from equipment, which is, you know, judging, okay, the thickness of a cloud in a certain location, the direction of the wind, the speed of the wind, the possibility of certain currents affecting that wind, which will bring the cloud in a bit closer. So there are some factors which are quite variable. And whilst they can give, you know, fairly general predictions, there will still be anomalies, there will still be variations in those predictions that they are giving. And this is something that we also need to bear in mind. For instance, you know, they said there's going to be onsets in April. Well, that actually did happen in specific locations. And, you know, here we are. I am just after Aja on the Lekki axis, in between Aja and before Epe. So, you know, we could have some very, very heavy rain in our location here in Aja, which actually we did, very, very heavy, within no time at all, even all the way up to Jakonde. There were floods. Yeah, there were floods just last week. But people in Ikorodu might not have any rain at all because they're different specific locations. So it's all Lagos. It's definitely falling in Lagos, but different locations in Lagos. So it should be taken as a, you know, fairly generalized prediction, because as I said, there are variables. You know, it's very difficult to know, okay, the wind is going to blow at exactly this speed for X amount of time in such and such direction. You can't tie it down. But what you can do is know that, yes, it is going to come. And when we're talking of rain, my real brother, we're talking of something that is going to be coming heavier and heavier. Again, let us refer back to what happened in Dubai. Mm-hmm. Rain that would take 1.5 years to fall. You know, we measure the rain. Mm-hmm. It fell in less than 24 hours. And they totally overwhelmed all their flood relief drainage systems. Luckily for them, you know, it's an area that even over that 1.5 years, it's a very, very dry area. So they wouldn't get that much extra rain anyway if it falls in 24 hours. But the reality is that it was totally abnormal. And what we are doing now as human beings, as Nigerians, who are part of obviously the human race, is we're impacting very negatively on the various systems. Because when we think about it, you know, I mean, a simple question. What makes the rain fall? Okay, we know that there's water vapor in the air.
Yeah.
Because when we look up in the sky, we see the color is generally blue. Okay.
Yeah.
But that's not the real color of the sky. When we go beyond the Earth's atmosphere, which is only, you know, a few kilometers, by the time we go about 100 and something kilometers above the Earth, we're now above the atmosphere and we look at the sky as black.
Okay.
That's the true color of the sky. And there's a whole lot of sky out there with a whole lot of planets. When you think about it, our planet is just one out of a few in our particular solar system, you know, Mars, Neptune, Jupiter. Yeah, but then when you consider our solar system in the galaxy, there are billions and billions of planets in that one galaxy. And as if that's not enough to stretch your mind, Kofi, there are billions of galaxies. And all these ones, at least the ones that are close to us, we have a pretty good idea of how they're operating. And so far, we've been able to monitor quite a few. And this, our planet Earth, is the only one so far that has this atmosphere, which makes the sky look blue. But then the question again, which I asked is, okay, but what makes that water vapor fall? What makes the rain fall? We take it so for naturally, we, you know, it's for granted. Yeah, it's just a natural thing. We see it happen. But there's a process. There's a process that makes the rain fall. And there's a process that makes you have a certain amount of rain. Whether it's just a little rain, just a few drops in one area, just a little shower, or a deluge, or what we're getting now, the rain bombs. There are processes. And what we need to now analyze is how are we humans affecting and impacting those processes.
All right.
When we do that, then maybe we will come to terms with the fact that as human beings, we have a tremendous responsibility for future generations, for our own children, and even for our old age, to ensure that we do not continue to negatively impact against those specific processes that have been in place for eons upon eons on this earth that make the rain fall in a certain way.
Quite interesting. You know, when you talked about the fact that our planet, our small planet, is just beyond our solar system, in our galaxy, just one out of billions, I saw a story somewhere where a scientist said he discovered a 50-50 chance of life in a planet outside our own solar system. And the name of the planet is quite strange. 2B1 something something BA, you know, and I'm like, my God, there are so many, they have to give them numbers. Mr. Majakotomi, we'll be back and we want to pay our bills and take a commercial break. And when we come back, I'll ask you what Lagosians can do to ensure that they don't fall victim to flooding as much as they can, what is within our, or lies within our power to do. Let's pay our bills. When we come back, we'll throw the lines open. Of course, we'd like to hear from you, those of you listening this morning, on what you're doing to prepare for the rainy season right here on the Morning Crossfire 99.3 Nigerian Info. Stay with us.
This is Morning Crossfire on 99.3 Nigeria Info.
Welcome back. It's still the Morning Crossfire, 0201-465-7190. What are you doing to prepare for the rainy season in order to ensure that you don't fall victim to any flooding or the effects of the rain right here in Lagos State? Please feel free to call and tell us. Are you aware of what the Lagos State government is doing? What do you think the government should be doing? What do you think other residents of Lagos State should be doing? What do you think I should be doing? What do you think my guests should do to prepare for the rainy season? He is, I like to call him Evangelist Despond Majakotomi. Before you begin to call him and ask for his account number so you can send your thight to him, he's an environmental evangelist. He's not told me if he has a ministry, but maybe we'll get to learn from him about that. But he's an environmental activist. He's chairman of the Lekki State Urban Forest and Animal Shelter Initiative, LUFASI. And he's also the host of the Green Hour and Green Scene right here on 99.3 Nigerian 4. We're grateful to have Mr. Despond Majakotomi on the program. Before I go back to you, sir, let's give our listeners a chance to say one or two. We have an next caller on the line. 99.3, good morning. All right. Did you call to test the line? Please, oh. 99.3, good morning.
Hello, good morning.
Welcome. What's your name?
My name is Godwin.
Godwin, good to have you. Where are you listening to us from?
Calling you from Sangot.
All right, Sangot. Have you had rain there?
Yeah. It has been raining. Okay. Cat and dog.
All right.
Okay. The preparation, I think, all boils down on we, the individual, and the government. Like we normally say, this rain you see always floods rivers. And you know, Lagos is surrounded with oceans. There is a way the government can start pushing up and preparing for that. Not when it starts, they start giving fire brigade approach to rainfall, erosion, and those things. It is from now that we'll start finding solution to that, not when it starts. So my own is to advocate or tell the government to start it now. And for we, individuals, if you're having a leaky roof, find a way and block it so that your room cannot flow with rain. Those are the things. And then you have gutter, let the gutter be flowing in your surroundings.
All right.
So those are the small, small ones we can do. Thank you very
Thank you very much for your time. Good to hear from you. Mr. Wajukurumi, if you can hear me, your view is frozen. I was about to come back to you. I don't know if you can hear me, sir. Oh, network. Oh, my. We cannot hear you. Your video is frozen. Maybe you should log out and log back in. Okay, let's take the next call while we try to get our guest back on. 0201-465-7190. We've had flooding issues in Lagos State and across the country over the last few years. So it's a very important conversation to have in order to ensure that we don't fall victim, you know, to the harsh effects of the rainy season. Okay, good to have you back, sir. Hear me, let's start from the residents of Lagos State. What can and should the residents of Lagos State do to protect themselves in this rainy season, particularly when it comes to flooding?
Well, as the brother who called in, he said it quite rightly that it really starts with us and with government, and we are a democracy, so we're supposed to be the ones who are having the control over the government. And one of the major issues is the possibly lack of awareness of how much damage, how much harm that our littering, especially the plastics, can do. And one of the major culprits of this is the little pure water nylon sachets, because it's a normal thing. You carry your sachet, you drink it, maybe you're sitting in a vehicle and you just throw it out of the window, or you're walking on the street, you just throw it onto the street and, you know, there you go. And I can understand that to an extent, because after drinking the sachets, you don't want to be putting it in your pocket now. It's going to burn everything, so it can be quite inconvenient.
Okay.
So you just toss it onto the street. And then, I've got rid of the sachet. However, the reality is that particular sachet will be that final block to the drainage when the rain comes. That blocks the drain, that causes a flood, and that flood could actually drown a little child. Or at least spoil somebody's business. And because you dropped that sachet that caused that final block, that caused the drowning of that child, it is on you. The consequences, that comes to you. This is the law of life, the law of action begetting reaction, that God is not mocked. Whatsoever you sow, you shall reap. And in this case, you were sowing a nylon sachet, which is supposed to be disposed of properly because it can block the drain. So it can come back on you. And even, you know, if that shouldn't even be necessary as a deterrent. You should just, you know, your own conscience should be, I don't want to do something that's going to cause problem and maybe drown people.
So what do? You fold it and put it in your pocket? I fold my pure water sachets. If I buy pure water on the road, I put it in my pocket. I hold it in my hand till I get to a safe place I can dispose it. Or I put it in my car. If I buy bottled water, I put it in my car. If you get into, you see two or two bottles in there, to make sure I properly dispose it. Yeah. So I think I deserve an environmental award.
definitely. Yeah. You're going to get a green award for that one.
So you're saying
I was supposed to
do. Residents of Lagos should carry their waste, tissue paper, and bottled water, everything, plastics, non-degradable, you know, take it with you.
Definitely. In fact, all the waste has to be dealt with far more effectively. And in fairness to the Lagos State government, the LOMA, that is the Waste Management Authority, they've been quite effective. Not effective enough, but they've been so effective that other states have been copying them over the years, and even other countries are learning from what LOMA does, in terms of, you know, collecting the waste, in terms of getting the waste into areas where it can be dealt with. There's a little bit too much of the landfilling and not enough of the separation and so on. But it has to start with us.
Okay.
We are our brother's keepers. And this is what gives me a lot of hope in Nigeria, because we're very God-conscious people. We're very religious people. You know, I've been to lectures where I say, okay, hold up your hand if you believe that there is an almighty God, and 99% of the audience will hold up their hand. That's in Nigeria. You do that in another country, some other countries, I won't mention the name, you'll be lucky to see 50%. you see how it is? Yeah. So God-fearing people we are. The scriptures are very, very clear when it comes to that, you know, that the two major scriptures we have, one of them, it tells us that peace be unto you. Peace be unto you. Okay. The other scripture says, love your neighbor. Okay. That's our two major religions. Mm. And, you know, how can you be perpetrating peace or love onto somebody when you're despoiling their environment, when you're creating a situation that can cause flood, that can destroy their business or even kill their children? That is not a very peace or loving thing to do.
All right. Interesting. So you have to, even if you're religious, it is also part of your religious duty to protect your environment.
Exactly.
You're saying. Fantastic.
Yeah, absolutely.
Apart from, refusing to dispose of refuse, waste in on the road, in drainages, taking your pure water sachet, your empty bottle, plastic water with you, and all that. What else can residents of Lagos do to prevent flooding in the area, at least what's within their power?
Yeah, that's also a good question. Now we now come to the whole democratic system. And unfortunately, it looks as if there's not enough of the people's power being manifested in the localized way, in the local government systems. Mm. And, you know, so the councillors, the chairman of the council and so on, we need to ensure that they are far more answerable to the population in that particular location. And I've seen some locations where there's, you know, terrible amount of despoilments. That is, people, massive amounts of waste just discarded anyhow, anyway. And, you know, you can't just rely entirely on the state waste disposal, on the state Ministry of Environment. This is something where the local people, the local leaders need to do the right thing. I mean, there's nothing wrong with a local district chairman gathering his people and, you know, bringing a few workers and physically himself helping to clean up the location. And then as he's doing that, he uses it as a point of contact with the people in that local authority area. Okay. That, look, people, here I am. I'm your counselor. Here's our chairman. We're actually cleaning this mess. This is not a mess that we caused. This is a mess that you people caused. Mm-hmm. And we're cleaning it for you. Mm-hmm. But don't you feel that you yourselves should keep your place a lot cleaner? So there needs to be more activation of what is part of the democratic process.
I see. You're saying you're advocating for local government chairmen and councillors going to their different council areas or their wards to galvanize the people, mobilize their people to come out on maybe Saturday once a month, you know, just for the reason. And let's all do what we call communal labor. Everybody bring out your shovels, your rakes, and clear the gutter drainage in front of your house.
Exactly. Although I hear in some places those people have long moved away from the local government area to put them in power. But that's that's what it's all about, you know. Mm. And also, you know, they themselves should understand the implications of being a leader. You're now in a position whereby decisions that you make can affect the lives of hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people. Hmm. And this will have a repercussion on you, either positive or negative, depending on how you infect those people's lives. So, big responsibility.
Interesting. Mr. Magic, are you also advocating for the people themselves to take responsibility? I remember my dad, when I was younger, I was a kid, and on Saturday, he would take his shovel, take his rake, go to the public gutter in front of our house and begin to clean it out. And people would laugh at him. Yeah, people would laugh at him. He was a teacher. And he would clean out the gutter in front of the house and people would laugh at him. You know? So, yes. So, I mean, do we also need to lead ourselves to have a change of culture, attitude, to say, I'm not going to wait for my counselor who has moved to Banana Island to come and help me clean. He won't come. I we'll wake up on the Saturday next week as rains are coming in, clear out the gutter in front of my house.
Absolutely. This is what we really, really need to do. And again, it is also, you know, within our religious mandate, because the scriptures tell us very clearly, you know, that we should be replenishers of this earth, not destroyers. And if we're not disposing of the waste in the right sort of way, then we're contributing to something that will cause destruction of the system. So yes, it's up to the people, but maybe the orientation needs to come. Maybe the orientation ministry needs to push this out more effectively and, you know, remind people of this, their personal responsibility. And also from the various pulpits, from the altars of the churches, from the altars of the mosques, the imams and the priests and pastors, they need to put this across to their people. Look, you know, after all, the scripture tells us that cleanliness is next to godliness. And there's a good reason why that is the case. Right. Because if you don't have a clean, healthy environment, then you as a person are not going to be very clean and healthy. No wonder you, with a dad like that, no wonder you always fold your pure water like your sachet.
It goes right into my car. Mr. Magic, you know, some years ago, I was shocked, you know, to see some places of worship where they have the gutter that is just at the entrance, the fence of the place of worship, dirty. And I said, the first gospel you can preach to me, or the first message, if it's a mosque, that you can preach to me before I even convert or accept your message of religion, of peace and all that, is that your environment in that must be clean. You know, and then a house of worship, you can't even say, I want to, what message of gospel of peace be unto you are you going to preach to me when you can't even clean the gutter in front of your place of worship? You know, but I want to ask you, sir, we know that Lagos State Government, you know, has been on a drive to ensure that flood prevention measures are taken, including removal of structures on drainage setback. For instance, yesterday was reported on Lagos State Government website that the Lagos State Government is saying, through the Commissioner for Environment and Water Resources, Tukumbo Wahab, that the ongoing removal of contravening structures under the System 1 drainage channel midstream, that's in Ojota and Ogudu, they've been on for some days now, will address major flooding issues on the mainland and its environs. And they've done this also on the island as well, where people are building on this drainage channels, not observing the setback. Now, apart from this, what else can the Lagos State Government do to ensure that they prepare for the coming rain? The Lagos State House of Assembly, for instance, recently said a couple of days ago, tax Governor Sanwo-Olu on dredging of drainage channels, calling on the governor to reactivate the Office of Drainage Services in the state to clear all the drainage channels and ensure proper refuse disposal. So what else can the government do if that you agree with the House of Assembly in that regard?
Yeah, in that regard, you know, the current House of Assembly seems to be very proactive in this area. Again, you know, well, it's just my personal view is sorry, very good to make those pronouncements, but it'd be fantastic to see a few of them right out there in the field. You know, I believe in leadership by example. That's why at Lufasi Park, even though we have several cleaners, I'm just trying to do my own humble little bit, and I always go around with my plastic picker, picking up bits of plastic. So, you know, if I'm doing it as the chairman of the organization, you know, the whole, you know who I am, chairman of the organization, picking plastic, then, you know, what excuse do you have not to pick your plastic, especially the staff? And it sets a good example to the people who are coming to that park, which is a very, very delightful place to be because there's still a whole lot of trees and it's very, very, very fresh. Yeah, Lagos State government, in terms of the natural drainages, well, there's a huge challenge. And I do sympathize to a great degree with Commissioner Wahab, who some people are now calling him Bulldozer Wahab. it's a huge challenge because so much of Lagos is very, very low-lying, and a lot of it is actually reclaimed mangrove. And mangrove areas are, you know, areas that have been designed to accommodate extra water and you have these little rainy season streams. You won't even know there's a stream there during the dry season. And those little streams will take the water to the lagoon, and the lagoon now takes it to the ocean. But a lot of these places have been blocked off. They've been sand filled. So he's adopting a situation which has already manifested some pretty strong impediments for the ability of nature to remove these waters, which will come. And unfortunately, there's going to be much heavier water. However, the bigger challenge now for him as well is that even the known drainages, even those known natural streams, which were actually, you know, not supposed to have been developed at all, some people have been able to develop them, and they've even been able to show that they have planning permission. Not all of them. Some of them don't have any permission at all. They just developed, and now the house is blocking the drain, and which is why he has the unenviable job of ensuring, well, those buildings, those structures have to go. And in so doing, he's stepping on some pretty big toes. I can imagine the kind of phone calls that must have been going on, even to Mr. Governor himself. That, look at what your boy is doing. He's destroying my mansion in this place. How can this happen? Blah, blah, blah. But luckily, Mr. Governor is also strongly behind it. He and his wife, who is also a doctor, a very strong environmentalist, she is strongly behind the Commissioner for Environment, our bulldozer, Tokumbo Wahab. So, yeah, he just... You know, he has to insist. It's just, you know, sorry, you can't, you know, if that's the sacrifice that you have to pay, you know, for doing the wrong thing in the wrong place, well, so be it.
All right.
So, yeah, yeah, we encourage them to really, really go all out. I've seen a lot of drains that are blocked with plant life, with weeds and so on and
it's
so
terrible.
Forth.
It's terrible what people are doing in Lagos State, sir. It's terrible what people are doing in Lagos State. So you encourage the government to continue doing what they're doing, but you want to see more of them out there, including the House of Assembly members, go out to their constituencies and galvanize their people to go and clear their drainages as well. So you talked about you know, the flood, the water is going from the drainages and the water streams down to the lagoon and lagoon to the ocean. How do you think the construction of the Lagos Calabar Coastal Road, construction of Lagos Calabar Coastal Road will affect flooding in Lagos State?
Yeah, it depends entirely on how they do it, if they're ready to spend the extra money. I was in this location looking for my farm when Julius Berger were constructing the Lekki Expressway.
Okay.
And it was quite impressive to see that they had taken note of those natural streams, and they put some big pipes under a lot of areas of the road, and even small bridges. You won't even know that it's really a bridge unless you look closely, but actually little bridges along the way, which adds extra cost to your building. But as a result of that, they didn't block off so much of those natural drainage streams. So if this Calabar Road, Lagos Calabar Road, takes that into cognizance, then they will not impact too negatively. But if they just, you know, bulldoze right through and just concretize and concretize with that, because they're going to have to put a lot of bridges.
There's sand filling, currently sand filling, you know, the entire Atlantic coast. From what we can see, at least the near axis, and they may do it all the way too. So don't you think this will adversely affect the flow of water to the Atlantic if they're sand filling the coast?
Yeah, it depends on where of the coast they fill. Because if you think about it, the big positive that can come out of this road is the fact that the attention will be on the coastal erosion. And our coast in Lagos is being massively eroded. I personally have been monitoring this. In fact, I had some land that had, I think, about almost 210 meters of beachfront with hundreds and hundreds of coconut trees. It has all gone. 210 meters.
So it's eating inside.
Totally eroded by the sea. Oh, yeah. By the sea, yes, totally eroded. And in fact, that sea erosion, we've been blowing the alarm.
Right.
And luckily, Lagos State government have picked up on it. And the Commissioner for Waterfront has said they're going to be putting protective measures. Okay. But what we're telling them is that, okay, if you're going to have a coastal road, then you need to have a coast for your road. And your coast is being eroded.
Okay.
Yeah, so at least that could be the silver lining that they will now be forced
to
take care of that.
All right, so to do some sort of land reclamation, this sand filling could be some land reclamation of sorts.
If it's by the coast.
All right. I'm looking for the environmental impact assessment report of this Lagos Calabar Coastal Road project. So I don't know if you have a copy, maybe you can send it to me. If not, we'll both have to look for it, because I'll bring you back to talk about it at some point in the future. Remembering what the governor of Cross River State was doing with his superhighway project that was meant to go through the Cross River National Park of all places, until that was nipped in the bud. So I'm having that in mind. Yes. I want to thank you very much for your time, Mr. Evangelist Desmond Magic-Odumi, environmental activist. And you inspire all of us. Thank you for your words. You've been very fair, you know, in giving the government its flowers, but also calling on some things to be done better. I want to thank you for your time, sir. Thank you very much.
Yeah, it's my pleasure to be with you. I'm going to check next time I see you. I'm going to see how many plastic sachets you have in your pocket.
Thank you very much. Well, we'll have to talk to Bulldozer or to Wahab about that. Thank you very much for your time, sir, and have a wonderful day.
Okay, my pleasure.
Okay, let's pay some bills right here in the Morning Crossfire. Don't forget, OnePlay.ng. We'll do the raffle draw after the news at 9. Stay with us.